4CA is real music, real opinions. 1300 872 911. John McKenzie, 4CA.
Just quoting briefly from this article in the Cairns Post today, push is on for project and disaster recovery funding. Samuel Davis wrote, the push for political candidates to back major projects and disaster funding in the far north is on, with Cairns councillors spending the next 3 weeks spruiking seven advocacy priorities ahead of the state election. In July, the council outlined its case for key initiatives with further support following Cyclone Jasper, a major sporting precinct, and a Palm Cove entrance statement included in the wish list. Now, cut to the chase here. Deputy Mayor Brett Olds backed the call, declaring that the council faced a $25 million hole in the budget caused by the natural disaster if the next state government did not provide more support. The Director of Economic Development at the council, Nick Masasso, said 10 months on from Cyclone Jasper, significant gaps had emerged in funding arrangements provided by the state and federal governments, including for public infrastructure. And meanwhile, Mr. Olds said a groundswell of support for the Northern Beaches entrance statement was growing. Now, we've had some discussions on that with Brett in the past, and I don't know if many people outside of the Northern Beaches are particularly interested, but it's dear to his heart, so I'll touch on that in just a moment too. But let's get to this $25 million hole. He's on the line. Yes, he is. He's the Division 9 councillor, but he's also, of course, these days Deputy Mayor of the Cairns Council. Brett Olds, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I'm glad I'm not a candidate. Thinking about the election for the state, like, oh, those poor bastards. I don't like going through elections. I'm glad I've got a few years to go. Yes.
So. Now, let's talk about this $25 million hole in the budget. That's significant.
It really is, and we've known this for a while. We've been talking about it actually all year because, to make it easy to explain to people, basically when the state and federal government have disaster funding that you can receive, in the legislation it's written that you can't get money for certain things. Those certain things are like foreshores, community infrastructure, as Nick Masasso said, which is like your playgrounds and all that kind of stuff. Lake Placid. If anyone's been out to Lake Placid in the last 10 months, that whole place is dog's breakfast.
Yeah.
And it's closed down.
Yes.
We can't get any funding and the legislation for that. And so all these different kind of things, you can't get it for. So, and we're kind of like, well, that kind of sucks. But in other places in Queensland, after they've had disasters, including southeast Queensland, what they did to get around that legislation was create a Category D. Now, what's Category D? Category D funds things like community infrastructure, foreshores, places like Lake Placid, all these kind of things. So what we're saying is, where's the equity? We've had a huge disaster here.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't get funded by, because that's what disaster funding is for, and that's what Category D is for, it's so ratepayers don't get burdened with that cost from just a natural disaster, you know? Yeah. So it's like an insurance pool almost from the federal and state governments that help you out. We're saying, guys, this isn't fair, this isn't equitable, because if the ratepayers in a cost of living crisis get this lump on top of them extra, it's just negative upon negative upon negative. It compounds and it makes everything really tough. So we think we've, and you know, it's not a big ask. When you're talking about state budgets and some of the promises being made, $100 million here, $250 million there, like it's like Oprah Winfrey, everyone gets a free car. We actually are asking for and Brett Moller said, we're not asking for much when you look at it from a funding side of things. The $25 million for that, plus the other, there was nine priorities, not seven, the paper got that one wrong, but all the priorities added together, they're less than $100 million. So and they're not things that, oh, they help me, they help the community. The other thing they do in other parts of the state after disasters, like in southeast Queensland after the floods, they put a pool together of $750 million in this pool, and they called it for resilience funding. So if you had a property, for instance, that got affected and inundated with water, but you said, oh, look, I can do this $50,000 worth of works here and put up a levee or a retaining wall or do these things to make my property more resilient, you could apply in that pool of funding and get it paid for because you're actually helping. Why can't we get a fund like that too for people up here in Holloways Beach and Cammeronga, everywhere else, saying, look, how about we do this project and we can go into that grant stream? Mm. We don't have a grant stream for resilience and we don't have the Category D. And I think, well, we all think it was unanimously supported by council. It's only fair to be equitable. We need this. So at an election time, we've been talking to ministers, shadow ministers, premier, opposition leaders. We've been talking to the candidates and MPs. They all know what our asks are, and they all know there's good reasons for them. Our officers have done a great job putting the nine priorities together. And we just think, look, guys, enough's enough. this doesn't cut the mustard. Let's take care of us up here because we're going to have to fix it. The drains, the community infrastructure is going to have to get fixed by somebody. Mm. And if it's council that fixes it, then $25 million in a budget, like a small budget, like a council's budget, is a big hole. That's a really big ask.
Exactly. Don't go away. Just a quick word. We've done bits on this before, on and off, but there's this support growing, it says here, for this entrance statement on the northern beaches. Just briefly again, can you paint a picture of what you've got in mind and where?
Yeah, so as you're coming north along Captain Cook Highway, you go past Clifton Beach, you go past the two sets of stoplights they've already got there, which create havoc on the weekend.
Yes.
And just to the north of the second set of stoplights on the intersection of Palm Cove Boulevard, across from the old zoo site, Palm Cove Boulevard and the Captain Cook Highway, there's approvals in place to put another set of stoplights in there or traffic signals.
Yeah.
So, and we're like, that would be devastating.
Ridiculous.
All you're doing is you're encroaching the urban sprawl. This is the best beach in the world, voted by Condé Nast. Yeah. This is the jewel in our crown. This is where 77% of the people that fly into our airport turn right and go past.
Mm.
We want an entrance statement welcoming people. Welcome to Palm Cove. Welcome to the start of the Great Barrier Reef Drive, which is what the state calls the Captain Cook Highway between Smithfield and Cape Tribulation.
Mm.
Let's celebrate what we got. And I can tell you the community out here in the Northern Beaches, especially in Palm Cove, Clifton Beach and Kawarra, they're all behind it. Well, I can't say all. The huge percentage of people behind it. Tourism Tropical North Queensland, Mark Olson, spent some money last year or early this year and got some concepts drawn up for us, which we've put out on my Facebook page. Council put out, was in the paper today, showing what a big roundabout there could look like, an entrance statement to really lift the place up. And we think if we get traffic lights there, it's going to be catastrophic because it's just, hey, welcome to Palm Cove. Here's a service station and a set of stoplights and a McDonald's. Like, let's make something special. Let's start treating it like the jewel in the crown it is.
Yeah.
And the Chamber of Commerce is behind it as well, Patricia O'Neill. Luckily, she lives out in Palm Cove. It was easy to win her over. So, but you got to play to your strengths. But we've talked to the mayor, met with David Christofoli about a week and a half ago. He actually seemed pretty keen on it.
Yeah.
He said, look, if we were to do this, would you guys, as a council, would you maintain it and take care of it? Because, you know, the highways we don't maintain. We do in certain areas with deals, and we're open to that, absolutely, because we'll maintain it to a higher level than what the state would anyway.
Mm.
And I talked to Bart Mellish's chief of staff and his top advisors and a few of the bureaucracy from Main Roads last Friday with Nick Masasso, and they told us that is being discussed in a serious manner by the decision makers, because out of all the projects Main Roads have coming up over the next few years, that's the only one that they could actually finish in one term of government.
Mm.
All the rest are going to be pushed out over 8 years, 10 years, John, and they're not going to get done in the next 4 years.
So. While I've got you there, Brett, too, I got to contact from Palm Cove yesterday, mid-afternoon onwards, a big group of drunks at the northern end of the Esplanade confronting people, the usual behaviour. There was that one came through, and also later, on Monday night at 6:30, at the Surf Life Savers Club, two men raced in quickly into the poker machine room, very quickly accessed a poker machine, got inside the poker machine or smashed inside whatever, got the proceeds out and left, all in a matter of like 2.5 minutes. Everyone was in shock. But it's bizarre seeing this sort of behaviour out there once again on the beach.
Yeah, we couldn't have been a government worker if we did it that quick. That's 2.5 minutes is good. I'm actually going to have to meet with Kate Noonan in the surf club tomorrow on a couple other issues, and I'll be talking about this with her too.
Wonderful.
It's a really poor indictment of what's happening across our whole region. In towns, I read in the paper today, the Catters are putting Labor last down there 100% because of the youth crime crisis. And I think people have had a gutful and they're sick of it. And I think that you're going to see a reflection in the regions in about 24 days.
Mm.
As a council, I wish we could do more. I'll be talking to council, what can we do? Like
wonderful.
I said to you last time.
Yes.
Amy, the mayor actually brought up yesterday without me prompting her, and she said in the meeting, we've got to look at security guards with dogs. A few of the other councillors grumbled when that was said, but
well,
I'm
hallelujah.
Supportive. We've got to do something different, and I'm willing to hear about any and all options, because if the state's not going to do it, well, we're just going to sit there and not do anything either. So there are conversations happening, John. It's just we can't snap our fingers because there's 10 people that need to agree on something at council, and then we're hamstrung to what our security guards actually can and can't do, because we can't arrest, our guys can't arrest people and do all that kind of stuff. So we know it's an issue, and it is at the forefront of all the councillors' minds. We're just at the moment having some talks about what's the best way to progress, because, I don't want to talk. We had the Cairns survey results come back in, which are confidential at the moment. They'll be released in a few weeks, but there was a few questions around public safety as well. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks when I'm allowed to, but It is. It's at the forefront of our minds, John. I just don't have a silver bullet on me right now.
Well, can I say to you, the late Kevin Byrne used to say this again and again and again, the only way we're going to get a significant improvement in the appalling behaviour in our CBD is have those security guards with dogs. There has been trialled in a previous era and worked its head off. Of course, there were people who laid complaints, which brought the trial to an end. But I think this is a terrific move. Once again, we've got a situation in our CBD that is simply intolerable. Let's have a crack at this and see if we can start addressing some of this appalling behaviour, because I've got to tell you, from what I'm hearing, it's getting even worse.
Oh, absolutely, and we talked about it earlier this week and said people that say, oh, walking with security guards with dogs is a bad look. People getting bashed up in the streets and defecating is a worse look.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Very well said.
We're on it, mate.
All right, Brett, thanks for your help today.
Have a good morning.
That's Division 9's Councillor Brett Olds, also these days Deputy Mayor.